Okay, it's time to wake up over there, Mike Walsh. How are you doing?
Well, I'm yawning.
Wait, now tell me the truth. How many hours sleep are you working on?
4 hours.
Four, all right.
4 hours.
You'll make it.
I was a British seaman for many years, so getting up at 4 o'clock to dock the vessel was no big deal.
Yeah. Very good. Well, all I can say is Mike Walsh is without question one of the great writers of our time, one of the truly premier journalists and writers. He writes about so many things and does it so well. He's been at this for a long time. He understands how the world is run, who is running it, how we were led astray, and the terrible results of the end of World War II. And I think most of you understand that I have my own beliefs about this. They do tend to dovetail with Mike's. We fought the wrong enemy in the war. We defeated the wrong enemy in the war. General Patton agrees 100% with that. In fact, he's where I first heard it, and he's right. We got conned. We were duped, and we have never recovered from it. And look today what we have. Look what we have today. A Zionist stooge dupe in the White House. Israel pays for nothing of any substance. They ask, they get. It's always been that way. It's a parasitic nation. The ethics are parasitic in their origin and their fruition in terms of a viable political mechanism for their survival. They just take. They don't give anything, and they take and they reduce human life. That's what they do. It's basically a machine of destruction from one end to the other. I don't see anything positive coming from it. Anyway, I'll stop. I'm talking too much. Mike Walsh, if you missed his articles, look on the left side of the homepage under his columnist position. You can find them. They're quick, brisk reads. They're not laborious and lengthy. They're very, very well done. He's got his own style. All right, Michael, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Jeff, I was just thinking as you were talking, what fueled my interest in this Jewish question was probably one of the earliest sentiments that invaded my mind and soul, because I read back then and remember the books that were available in the 1960s are no longer accessible. They've all been bought up and deleted.
Oh, they're gone.
They're not there anymore. But then they're gone, it was then that I heard, you're talking quite correctly about 1939-1945 war. That was for Britain, a bit later for the United States and the what was then the Soviet Union. But long before, right through history, especially in Europe here, because it was the main populated area at the time, is the Jews were making themselves unpleasant in every country. And when they did, they were hopping over the border to the next one and repeat the process. So they jumped from Russia into Poland and made a mess of themselves. They made they jumped into France, made a mess of that. And they jumped into Germany and made a mess into that. They're just like dropping bugs in the soup all the time. And it was even Kissinger said, when you've been getting it wrong for 2,000 years and getting kicked out of countries, it's time to wonder if you're right after all. And that came from top Jew, Kissinger. So and was that anti-Semitism? If I say it, it's anti-Semitism. If Kissinger tells the truth, then that's okay. This is the distorted world that we live in today.
Yeah.
And this is what I have been dealing with for nearly 60 years, distortion of history. And I think I've made a mark. Other people have left and made a stain. But I think I've made them.
You certainly have, my friend, and you should be forever proud of that. Know your work will be here for a long time to come, as long as there are people who are willing and able to seek out reality. And I hope they never go away. We need more of them.
Well, I shall live forever, Jeff, if I inspire in others to pick up the baton and continue with it.
Mm-hmm.
And because just as other nations have won against the Jews in the past over 100 patients will be able to deal with this because they will be inflamed just as I was by earlier writers and thinkers than I was.
You know, one of the things that the Zionists use all the time to smear and tar people is the term racism. I can say this, I have never seen a more racist group in my life, ever. No one can even crawl up to the same platform that they stand upon, above all, self-chosen, as the greatest of the great, and those nearly godlike on the planet. They are, not every one of them, but their general philosophy, when it's looked at honestly, I think the most intense racist group on the planet. That's just my take. I'm not speaking for you, Mike. I'm just telling you what I see.
No, this is absolutely correct. You know, it's who was it that said those golden words? It says, it's a tribe that is driven with hatred.
It's true.
A tribe with a psychotic hatred of non-Jews driven by the belief that the world is theirs. If you understand this and everything about our crazy world begins to make sense, that is the key to it. It is a tribe with a psychotic hatred of non-Jews driven by belief that the world is theirs. How true is that?
Yeah, sadly true. And they get away with it. And all you have to do is look at...
they'll get away with it for so long, Jeff. They'll get away with it for so long. When we get... I have been writing, not just reporting with you, but I've been writing for the American Free Press, and I believe that we're moving into a new world in which there will be no more wars. And that means the elimination of Israel and the power of Jews. Already in Belarus, they have been kicked out of any positions of power at all. You cannot, if you are a Jew, you cannot stand for election. You can't have a public position like a mayor of a town or anything like that. So it is happening, and I think it's happening more subtly in other parts of the world. In Russia, for instance, he kicked them out. Kicked the banks out. And right. The Rothschild banks, and yeah. And kick the Jews out of power.
You've seen Scott Ritter and his commentaries.
Of course, yeah, you know.
I have him up at the top of headlines. He is really one of the best. He is right on the money with this one in particular. That's why I put it up at the top of headlines. I would urge all of you to watch and listen and learn. Scott knows what's going on. He doesn't hold anything back. He is telling it straight about Israel, and he says, quite frankly, he said that it's a fraud, I'm paraphrasing, it's a fraud country that should not be here. It needs to go away. He makes no bones about it, and he's correct. He's correct.
Yeah.
But so that Scott Ritter commentary is really well done at the top.
Yeah,
take
Tucker
a look.
Said the same. Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker did.
Yeah.
Tucker, I am shocked at some of these people and how they have stepped forward and are standing on the truth. And it's good to see. I don't know what's really behind. There's something going on behind it. I don't know what it is. But they are either following the agenda that that Zionism wants. And it may be a desensitization of the masses about how evil and ugly they are. So maybe this, you follow desensitization, of course, and I think that may be part of what's going on. You hear it all the time, and then it loses its clout. Maybe that's some of it. I don't know. But Tucker has really come forward. Yes, and Candace Owens has said a lot of interesting things, too. But you ask yourself, how are these people so successful if they're doing something that is absolutely threatening to the Zionists? And the answer is, it's not threatening to them. How can you threaten somebody that owns the whole damn media? They own it all. So you can't really threaten them. Anyway,
well,
I think there's an agenda going on here. I'm not sure what it is, but something.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, you know, before the war, this was written in the actual Jewish Daily Bulletin on July 27, 1935. And this is what they said, not I said, not some anti-Semite said, this is what they said. There is only one power which counts, the power of political pressure. We Jews are the most powerful people on earth because we have this power and we know how to apply it. There you go. That was in their magazine, their periodical, written by them. They are admitting it. Mm-hmm. People say, again, if I say it, people say that's anti-Semitic. How can it be anti-Semitic when I am quoting the Jews themselves? They are admitting it. And I got hundreds of quotations like that.
Yeah.
They've always, they're so arrogant, they're so sure of themselves, that right throughout history, they have admitted, just as I just quoted Kissinger a few moments ago, they have admitted what they're doing. But if I say it, if you say it, that's anti-Semitism. But a word that really gets my goat, and I wish everybody would take note, even today I see in the media that the British government is tackling denial of the Holocaust. It is not denial. Look, change that word entirely. That word does not exist in our vocabulary. What it is, they hate investigation into the Holocaust. It's not denial, it's investigation. So if you change the word, again, it makes everything sense. When you think of it that way, it's not denial of the Holocaust, it's investigation of the Holocaust.
Oh, let's find out what really happened there. Let's check those Red Cross records. Let's ask people who were there and lived there. Let's roll back the shroud of, mental mind control and talk about sensitization. People were so sensitized about the Holocaust, they were afraid to even say the word, let alone the word Jew or Jewish. They wouldn't say it. They just would steer away from it for decades. Now at least people can talk. You can say Protestant, you can say Catholic, and now people are beginning to feel free and confident enough to say the word Jew or Jewish as identifying a separate agenda, which we're fighting 25 hours a day. Anyhow, it's quite true. It's a bad scene. And they have really, I'll tell you, I have to tip my hat, and I don't want to tip my hat to evil under any circumstance, but what they have pulled off is astonishing. The amount of control they have, and only 17 million on the face of the earth, allegedly. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's all in flux. It's changing.
They have always controlled the media, but the media, and I was checking this out on Artificial Intelligence Now, is social media is getting through to a lot more people, or rather, to put it another way, Jeff, people are being influenced by social media much or more than they are by the conventional media.
Now, absolutely.
This is their weakness.
Yes.
This is what's worrying them.
Yes.
And it was a fellow Irish-American, Henry Ford, who in The International Jew, Volume 1, page 200, says, and this is what's happening now. This is answering your question, Jeff. The people are waking up. This is what Henry Ford says. There is nothing that the international Jew fears as much as the truth or any hint of the truth about himself or his plans. Now, that was going back a long, long time. We're talking nearly 100 years ago. And he didn't have the power. He didn't have the power. That's why he had the Dearborn Gazette, I think it was called, so he could get across people. But there was no internet then. There was no social media. These were dreams. And I think it was a prime minister of one of the Central American nations who said the same as Julian Assange, the internet is burning the conventional media to the ground. We are in control. I think of social media as being the people's media, and we must use it, Jeff. More people, they must stop merely clicking likes on pictures and memes that they like. They must spread them. Everybody has the power of the old town crier now, and all you got to do is press the enter button. It if you see a good story in what I write or what anybody else writes, such as this broadcast, when it will be published in very short order, then what you've got to do is you've got to say, send it to people and say, hey, I think this will be of interest to you. Why don't you have a listen to this? Why don't you have a look at this meme? Wow, look at this story. I thought it might interest you. It's as simple as that. And you know, I worked this out years ago before I was as au fait with the internet as I am now. Even me, I used to, in the early days, 1960s, 1970, I had an old Gestetner printing machine. And anybody who was around at that time...
Like a mimeograph machine?
A mimeograph machine, that was it. It was messy, it was inky, it was expensive, and it was and it was hand-driven, and we used
to churn out
leaflets. We used to go to the post office, stick them in envelopes, address them to the recipients, and stick stamps on them, which was costing an arm and a leg, and off we go. Now, I can do a story, I just checked yesterday, I did a story that was already there, already published in the American Free Press. And I did it in 20 minutes. And a few minutes later, it was around the world. Now, you just imagine the power of that. You know, Julian Assange is right. We are burning mainstream media to the ground. But we need your participation. We need you to press the enter button, the send button, and send it around the world. If I can speak to the world, I don't have any more equipment than anybody else sitting at home anywhere in the world now. I have the same laptop, and I send it around the world. If I can do it, you can do it. And if I must do it, then you must do it. Because people say that I'm waking up tens of thousands of people. I have no doubt that I am, with the books and the articles and the broadcast and all the rest of it. I've got no doubt that I'm making an impact. But really, my advantage is no more than yours, because I'm giving you the ammunition. All I'm asking, and all Jeff, you are giving them, is the power to spread the word. And that is so important. You are all columnists.
We have, during this transition between the mainstream media, the history of it, and the new media, the new world of media, which is social media, we have an opportunity in this transition to exert more power and more influence than we probably have ever been able to exert instantly. So we must understand the power of the social media opportunity that is presenting itself to all of us. If we don't use it, this door is going to close. They're going to shut it down, and we're going to be under their boot once again. But right now, we have a chance to keep rolling back the fear of mentioning or talking about things that heretofore have been verboten. They're not. Nothing is off the table. If it's presented honestly, in a scholastic way, it's fair. It's fair game. It should be talked about. I don't care what it is. We don't do hate. There's no hate here. Never has been. It's not productive. It's not worthy. It's not warranted. All we want are the facts. And let the facts fall where they may.
Every send button, Jeff, is a bullet. And if you stop sending,
you
are a soldier in a war, and you are placing your rifle down on the ground. And that is not the thing that you should be doing. You should
Can't
be firing bullets.
Yourself.
Sending memes, sending stories, sending broadcasts, giving the propaganda out, the information, the truth. That's what we do. Everybody should be picking up the laptop and using it as a rifle and spraying, you know, the enemy with truth posts. People are waking up.
Yeah,
I forget what the percentage was, but in America, there's about 40% who believe that the Holocaust either didn't happen or it's being grossly imagined, so fantasied. So we are there. We are waking up. Now, my thing here is, how do we, once we've woken them up, and we have woken them up, how do we organize them as a formidable force? Now, that's what concentrates my mind. How do we be organized and inspire the masses?
Now, that needs to be made into it's got to be made into a cohesive force. They have to learn to use their voice on any platform they can possibly do it. If we don't, 17 million people are going to take this planet to hell. That's basically what's going to happen. We have to stand up to this. They are doing it. Yes, they are.
Yeah, you're doing it on their behalf. America. Yeah. You know, you're attacking Iran again, and you know, you're going to be, if you think that Afghanistan was a humiliation for the American nation, you ain't seen nothing yet. They're going to
be humiliated
right. to a third world country, you know, in Iran. And they've overstepped their mark, and, you know, all of these great pundits that we've been mentioning before, and there are thousands of them, and they're being joined by thousands, they know that Trump has stupidly stumbled into a swamp, and he's trying to get out, and he can't get out, and they won't allow him out.
And they won't let him out. No, they control
him. If American influence is kicked out of the Far East, out of the Gulf, then, you know, Israel is left on its own, and that has got to be a good sign, not just for us, just for humanity. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, every day I get 3, 4, or 5 stories from Mike Walsh. They go up in his columnist section. They go up in the headlines as well. So be sure to avail yourself of those and spread them around. And they cover so many different topics. You're quite a Renaissance man, really. You write about many, many things, and that comes from a lifetime of synthesizing extraordinary amounts of experiential material. Very few people can do that. You did it. You're doing it. Now, what do you want to talk about geopolitically now? Trump is a fraud. The Iranians won the war. Will they being the Western Jewish Zionist arrogant elite, will they push Iran and start a second round, part two? Is there going to be a part two? I don't see how we can avoid it, frankly. The Israelis are so full of hate, and they just don't take no for an answer. Trump, I don't think he'll stand up to them because he knows they'll remove him. He'll just be gone. Heart attack, cancer, whatever. They kill people who get in the way. And unless he continues to play ball, I don't know what's going to happen. But what are your thoughts on this right now? Go ahead.
Yeah, my view is that Trump doesn't really matter in this. It's Tehran that's calling the shots now. And they have the power to remove Israel. So if Israel, or put it another way, United States on their behalf, if they go full throat on Iran, on Tehran, then Tehran has got the means, the power. And don't forget that Tehran is assisted by Russia and China, and they are both due of war. And if that's the case, then Israel, tiny little occupied Palestine, they haven't got a snowflake's chance in hell of resisting the hell that will be released from Tehran. And the sooner it comes, the better. And I've said this for a long time, Jeff, is when, and I see this on social media now, is whenever 10 Israeli IDF troops are killed, whenever 100 tanks are decimated, whenever fire and brimstone is poured down on the Jewish occupied cities of Palestine, everybody on social media is cheering. They're all punching the air. I imagine them around the world, whether it's Latin America, North America, Australia, Europe, Russia, China, they are all punching air. It is the most hated nation on earth. And Oscar Wilde said, you are known by the company you keep. Are you listening, America? You are known by the company you keep. And the two most hated nations on earth, especially since Trump, is the United States and Israel. Now, that is time to sit back and think, as Kissinger did, we're not doing this all right, and you're not doing this right. And it will be another T, not Trump, it will be Tehran, who calls the shots here. I believe it.
Well, fine by me. I think they certainly earned it. They have, in their history, if you look back honestly on their history, they are not a bellicose, belligerent nation. They don't attack people. They defend themselves. And what a great job they did during this first horror. World Zionist elite with all of the weapon systems, the munitions, and money they could get from their American stooges, funneled in by Trump, and the American military, which exhausted much of the remainder of its inventory, bombing and trying to destroy as much of Iran as possible, failed. They failed. They lost. They did not win. And Iran now is said to have more missiles and more drones ready to go right now than it did at the beginning of the first war when they were so viciously attacked during negotiations. We will see. We will see. I think Trump is frightened to death of one thing, and that's going down in presidential history as a loser, losing a war. He's already lost one, but of course he will never admit that. And I think if there's another one, it's going to be an inescapable mantra that's going to follow him around. The Zionist war president who lost to Iran. He lost. I don't think he wants to wear that. So he's afraid.
He walked into a trap. The trap was set by West Jerusalem. You know, that nasty little nation, which is not a nation, it's a cancer.
No. It's a parasitic monstrosity.
Yeah, you just say, you know, we talk about occupied Palestine and, you know, what's going on in Tehran now, but when you look at that tiny little nation of thieves and robbers, they have ruined, absolutely wrecked all of their neighbors. You know, we're talking about Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, all the Gulf states.
Yemen.
They have,
don't forget the attacks on Yemen. That's right.
That's right. United Arab Emirates, they've seduced them all, but that is coming to an end, and the Arab world is waking up, and you're going to see an entire new future. So you ask me where this is going. It's going in the right direction. It's not always apparent, but it is going inescapably in the right direction, and Israel will be reduced to total impotency. Where they will move on to, I have no idea. I didn't know in 1800, I didn't know in 1850, I didn't know in 1900 where they were moving on to. We have to wait for that. But I cannot see that there are any borders that they can cross now. Forget Madagascar, forget Ukraine, they're not going to happen. They've got nowhere left to run to. The Jews in Israel are in a corner, and they are trapped. And like a rat in a trap, in a corner, they are fighting back with a ferocity that they've never had to do before. They are losing IDF soldiers. They're losing Israeli citizens. They are losing power. And the airlines out of Israel are flooding the world. So watch out for more so-called refugees, America. And, you know, because we will get them in Europe. You will get them in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
They've really messed up the Near East, and they will flee to your country and mine. And this is what we must be on guard on. We must expose them. Press the send button. Yeah, that must be your words. I press the send button.
That's a great mantra.
Get the word out.
Hit the send button. I'm really wondering, and I know we'll never know because they will never tell us, the real casualties that Netanyahu has inflicted on his own people are through the roof. You will not hear about it. The losses of the IDF, when they say three soldiers wounded, you can multiply that by four or five and probably come close. And then they don't mention death very often at all. Once in a while, they'll say one soldier succumbed to his wounds. No. Hezbollah is not dead. Hezbollah has not been defeated at all, and they're getting pushed back hard in southern Lebanon. Those people are very brave, standing up and fighting against this machine. It's an interesting dynamic, though. The diminution and the terrible losses that the Americans have suffered in terms of their munitions and inventory, there's not much left that they can lose. That's one of the reasons I think Trump is holding off on joining Israel in part two of the Iran war. We don't have much in the way of anti-missile missiles, interceptors. We don't have much in the way of guide bombs anymore. These are, they're gone. We've given them all to Israel. We've used them all up. We don't have the weapon systems. We don't have the inventory to fight like we did. So that's part of it, in my view.
Yeah, the world of war has changed dramatically, and the Iranians have shown us the way, and Hezbollah have shown us the way. I just wish the Germans had the pluck of the Irish and got rid of the British. But there you go, the Americans are, the American bases are reducing in Europe, and they're gone. They're more or less gone because they can't defend them in the Far East, in the Gulf states. So I don't know how many trillions that the United States, or rather you, the taxpayers, have poured into those, creating those bases, American bases on Israel's behalf throughout the Gulf states, but they're gone. And they're going to stay gone because you can't defend them. It's not possible. And as for these mosquito swarms of little boats, you don't need battleships anymore. You don't need aircraft carriers anymore.
No. Drones,
I think two of them,
little
the Ford
boats,
and the Lincoln, have scuttled. They're out of the system because one rocket, you've got 5,000 American servicemen and women on these huge elephants. They're dinosaurs.
It's a white elephant. The age of the aircraft carrier is over. I think most of us know that.
And the battleship. They're all gone, you know. One little craft, and you've probably got them in all of the marinas on the west and the Atlantic coast of the United States. You've got little swarms of boats, no bigger than these, but the missile power that they have is similar to that was on the Bismarck in World War II. So the world has changed, and America hasn't changed with it, and that is why you are seeing the diminution of American power across the world. And when America is no longer able to fight on Israel's part, then Israel is finished and out of the Middle East. Excuse me.
I want to remind all of you again, listen to Scott Ritter's commentary at the top of headlines. Very important, very well spoken. And Scott is not hiding behind anything. He's standing right up there in broad daylight telling it like it is. It's good to see. These people are doing things now that you and I, Michael, were doing, well, you longer than I, but I was doing this a lot, 30 years ago, more, on the radio, and I got into a lot of trouble because I just told the truth. You've been doing it for much longer than that, and you know the story. It's so good now to see people be able to use the word Jew, Jewish, without fear. They were always afraid to do that when I was growing up. They just did because of the alleged Holocaust. Oh, those poor people, poor victims. And then they were always padding every story with how God had chosen them to be special and the best of the best and all that. And it's just all crap, friends. Very clever crap that was marketed through their own media.
Jeff, they always overstep their mark.
Always.
They get arrogant.
No, they don't have any restraint. They can't hold back. I agree.
They think that they are omnipotent, and we are proving otherwise, just as Adolf Hitler did, and others. We talk about Adolf Hitler, but at that time, there were three, four, great men in Europe. There was Adolf Hitler, there was Benito Mussolini, Bulgaria was fascist, Romania was fascist. It was right the way through Europe, and that was one of the very few times when Europe was free and prosperous and strong, and nobody would attack it until 1933 and a little bit later, when Britain kept on provoking, using Poland just as they're using Ukraine now to provoke Russia and fight their wars. If you turn the clock back, that's what they were doing in the 1930s. They were provoking Germany by using Poland as a battering ram, and the Polish were stupid enough to allow them to be used, just as the Ukrainians are being used now. And in
true.
The end, the Zionists got what they wanted. The Zionist lobby that was financing Churchill, they got what they wanted, and they got their war provoked with Germany. And America couldn't wait to get into the plunder. And, of course, it was a total conspiracy, Pearl Harbor and all the rest of it. They put a stranglehold on Japan just as they're putting a stranglehold on Iran and other parts of the world now, like Cuba, that stranglehold, Japan had no alternative but to punch their way out of an American-made prison. They couldn't even get their ships through the Panama Canal at the time. They couldn't trade. Their ships were embargoed. Their ships were being arrested on the high seas. So in the end, Japan, an island nation, they had no choice but to punch themselves out. And this is what they were provoked into doing. They were provoked, much to the glee of Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, much to his glee. They punched their way out by attacking Pearl Harbor. And that got them, because they were in a pact with Germany, that got America into the war with Germany too. And it was all provoked by Roosevelt and Churchill. Of course, they were both working for this
communists. They're communists.
I'm telling you now, there would not have been a Second World War without the Zionist lobby. Just as you wouldn't have a war in Tehran, the Middle East, without the Zionist lobby. That's how powerful they were. But we must remember, you know, the past is not the present, and we have the power of speech. We would gag them. I have, and I often say this, I have a certain sympathy for the people who fought in the Second World War, because their only source of information was the media, the mainstream media of the time. So what they didn't have another story. We have another story. There is no excuse now, and I'm talking about NATO wars now. I've changed the debate. Is I have a certain sympathy for the people who, as you referred to before, who fought on the wrong side of the war in World War II. As for these NATO clowns who are training in the Baltic states today and elsewhere, in Romania, for instance, there's one there, they are under no illusions. They are watching the same social media as we do. We know what's going on. If we know what's going on, they know what's going on. And furthermore, they are not conscripts. In the Second World War, American and British troops and French troops were conscripts. They didn't have any choice. These guys in NATO, with one or two exceptions, they have a choice. They can either fight. They walked into the recruiting offices, Jeff. They signed the paper knowing damned well they were being used for pawns for America and Britain's war aims. And they've got nobody to blame but themselves, and I have no sympathy whatsoever. I got two sons, and I've said to them, if you join a NATO army, you'll lose all sympathy from me. You deserve what you're going to get. And that's the situation we find ourselves in today. So you won't get it. And in Germany, for instance, nobody wants to fight Russia. So all of their recruitment campaigns have fallen flat on their face. Nobody wants to. So now they're bringing in fines for teenagers who don't want to sign up to fight Russia, bringing in fines and offers and threats of jail sentences. That's how nobody will lift up their rifle. They will not fight any more wars. So as I said before, and I think as you referred to it, people are waking up, and they're waking up fast, and they are our ammunition. Awakened people are our ammunition.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. Here's a very odd story that came out of Israel. Israeli rabbis caught praising Hitler, urging enslavement of non-Jews. Now, they've taken Hitler, part of his alleged benchmark position, and turned it around into their own arrogance, is what they've done. So it's a misuse, but it's still interesting. Audio and video recordings aired by Israeli Channel 13 revealed two senior rabbis at a military-linked religious academy in the occupied West Bank making racist remarks against non-Jews and Arabs, defending Jewish supremacy and expressing support for elements of Adolf Hitler's world view. Recordings published by the Israeli Channel 13 have sparked outrage after exposing the extremist remarks by two prominent rabbis affiliated with the B'nai David pre-military religious academy in the illegal settlement of Eli in the occupied West Bank. In one of the recordings, Rabbi Eliezer Kashtiel, head of the academy, is heard describing non-Jews, Goyim, particularly Arabs, as genetically inferior and advocating their enslavement under Jewish authority. This is a current story, friends, current. Non-Jews want to be our slaves, Kashtel tells an audience in the video. Being a slave to a Jew is the best thing, he says. They are happy to be slaves. They want
to be slaves. All Americans, all Europeans are slaves to the Jews. You've only got to pick up the newspaper or listen to the radio. You know, there's a current affair that is going on in the Middle East now. I listen to the radio. I never get a spokesman from Hezbollah. I never get a spokesman from Tehran.
Never.
I never get
never
a spokesman
heard.
From
Nothing.
Anybody except it's always an IDF spokesman or an Israeli spokesman.
Sure.
The others are not allowed to speak for themselves.
Or
That's
Trump.
Why the internet is so important, because we are speaking where the mainstream media will not go. We are doing their job for them.
It's crazy. You're right. Totally right. Anyway, this is an interesting story. We have it up in headlines for you if you want to take a look at it. So
yeah,
there you go.
We
have just about 9 minutes left, and it's gone by very quickly, as always. Are you feeling a sense that Europe has gone too far and Russia is going to respond not only to Europeans but to Ukrainians in a way that after 4 years many people are asking, how can this war still be going on against the Zionist-controlled Ukrainian Christian population, which it is? And if you look at it honestly, the Jewish Zionist freak Zelensky has liquidated about 2 million Christians in the war so far. 2 million dead men and women in the Zionist military. So this is a Holocaust of Christians, if you think about it correctly. And I think there's no other way to view it. Zelensky is killing Christians. Simple. Lots of them.
Yeah, you say it in my story. If you go down the columns, as you say, go down the left-hand side, go to the columnists, you see me. And the latest story, well, I think it should be up there now, is the art of permanent war.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's it. Both sides are making profits from it. You know, the casualties, the civilian
that's
and
right.
the soldier casualties, they are collateral damage. But they're milking this war for all they're worth. Russia is, they're playing America at their own game, and they are milking it. And as Julian Assange said, it's just recycling American taxpayers' money, European taxpayers' money. What they're doing is they're taking that money, they're giving it to Kiev, they're giving $90 billion to Kiev, but, and that's our money. You know, no, governments do not have money. They do not create wealth. We do. We give it to them to manage our money. And
it's
this is what
stop.
They've done. They've taken $90 billion mm-hmm. off the European taxpayers. They have mm-hmm. given it to Kiev. But the catch is Kiev has got to spend at least $60 billion on arms, which will be bought in the West.
Right.
So they are using our money to destroy ourselves. It's a scam. It's a pyramid scheme.
Yes. Wars are all
The other $30 billion is in arms-related. Arms-related.
Yeah.
So indirectly, we are getting the money back. And if you can't find enough employees for the military-industrial complex in the United States and Europe, it's just simply because they can't keep up. This is the problem for them. They're making so many billions. I've got to do a story on this. Yeah, I must do it. I must make a note, Jeff. I've got to make a story about how they are rolling in money, our money, and we don't give them the permission to. I keep on saying governments do not have money. They say Britain or Germany is giving, you know, this hardware or money to Ukraine. They don't have the money. They have no more money than this statuette on my table here. They don't have the money. They are mismanaging our money, and we're allowing them to. And we've got to organise them to get rid. We've got to do the same as Solidarity did in Poland and Soviet-occupied Europe at the time. We've got to organise to overthrow these tyrants. And this is what they fear, because the people, when they do wake up and when they do react, who would have thought in 1988 that the Soviet Union would be history within a few months? And it was. And we can do the same, because it was Mikhail Gorbachev, the last secretary of the Communist Party, who said, why is the European Union trying to copy the Soviet Union? And he was absolutely spot on, Jeff. And we are now living... Well, I know an awful lot. I know a terrific number. I lived in the Baltic states and know Ukrainians and Russians, and we are under a worse occupation now than they were. They were freer in the Soviet Union at the latter days, of the Brezhnev days, of the Gorbachev days. They hate Gorbachev for selling the Soviet Union out, because they were all living well and they're secure. They didn't have all this hassle. I got pictures here of Nixon and Gerald Ford and all of the rest of them, Carter, all hugging and kissing Brezhnev. They're bloody disgusting. This was the Soviet Union that was responsible for the death of 66.7 million dead. And there is Carter, and there is all of the rest of them. All making love to Brezhnev and all the rest of it. Now, Russia is no threat to anybody, only in the imagination of the ones who want to make money out of the arms industries. That's the reality of it. Listen to it. Because when you start listening to people like me and Jeff, then you start waking up. When you wake up, you, after you yawn, you do a little bit of fighting yourself.
Oh, true. By the way, I don't know if you're up on Representative Thomas Massey here, member of the House of Representatives. Trump formed a political action committee which has as its only target, its only goal, the removal of Thomas Massey from the U.S. Congress. Now, he's a Republican. He's on our side of the fence, supposedly. But Tom Massey said he may be the only member of Congress who does not have an AIPAC babysitter following him around 24 hours a day, essentially, to make sure he votes properly on any bill that has anything to do with the Zionist State of Israel or its interests. He fights it. He tells now how the Israeli lobby and Trump are spending millions of dollars to try to force him to lose in the upcoming primary election for his seat in the House of Representatives. If they primary Massey out, there will be nobody worth their salt left in the U.S. Congress. Massey is a good man. He's a great American. And he's beginning to try and tell people, why are they spending millions of dollars to shut me up and get me out of the Congress? Because he's telling the truth. It's very simple. Trump is not telling the truth. So there you go. Anyway, we've got big problems here. Nothing new. But it's getting to be where, as you say, younger people, especially Generation Z, are beginning to see through the mists and understand who is causing the trouble. They realize, many of them, that Trump is a Zionist tool in the White House. At best, that's all he is. Nothing more, nothing less.
What about Joe Kent, Jeff? What's your views on him? Because we heard a lot
he's
about
him. He's pretty much out of the game right now. If he runs for office, you know, honestly, if he starts to be effective, they'll kill him or otherwise run him out. They being you-know-who, same people. They just don't care. They know they can get away with anything. Look at Seth Rich. There still hasn't been a formal investigation, the murder of Seth Rich. Anybody who tries to bring the truth out is, at that level, putting their life on the line. And many of them don't want to do that.
He certainly seems to be, because I see in the headlines in the Russian media today, is Washington joined Israel's war against Iran despite intelligence assessments that the Islamic Republic was not developing nuclear weapons, U.S. President Donald Trump's former counterterrorism chief, Joe Kent, has said.
And, well, Kent's saying some good things. He's right. He's absolutely correct. No doubt.
He says Trump has dragged Washington into another never-ending conflict that does not serve American interests. Well, that is brilliant from such a man. And these people, you referred to them earlier on, these people are waking up, you know, like Scott Ritter and so many others, and that former colonel general. They're all waking up, and people are listening to them.
It's McGregor.
McGregor. It frustrates me that I have been in the fight for longer than them. I speak just as eloquently as they do, but these are the names that we recognize. But, you know, my podium is a little bit smaller than the other guys, but that's life. I can put up with it. If I went to jail for my beliefs, then I can put up with anything.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you, my friend. Got to run. Talk to you next month. And in the meantime, watch for Mike Walsh. Watch for his stories and read them and share them. All right, Mike, thank you.
As they say in Mississippi, missing you already. Thank you, fellow Americans.
All right, good night.
Take care.
Okay, that's it for Friday. Already another week gone. Have a good weekend. Take care. Prepare and be safe. All right, we'll talk soon.